see that the Word of God is so important, and more than ever in this day, that many times we can take the Word of man more than we can the Word of God. And as Christians, we need to have the Word of God first and foremost, then everything else following that. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." When I was in prayer early this morning, I've seen that the enemy has sowed seeds of doubt and fear, that the words that have been spoken have been really contrary to what God's word is. As believers, we need to get to the Word of God because we know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, and instruction in righteousness." Notice what the Word of God accomplishes. It makes it profitable for all. We need that. But its doctrine is for reproof, correction, and instruction. Now, no one likes to be corrected, but that's what the Word of God's there for, that we may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. That word inspiration means this. It means in-breathed by God. God in-breathed that word. Now, I'm like you. There are certain fragrances I like, and to really enjoy them, you have to breathe them in. Well, we know today that a lot of people breathe in things and we've had illnesses or whatnot. But when you breathe in what is good, it's pleasant. I really believe when we go through the Word of God, we need to take that into us. Take that deep within our hearts. There's been a lot of people spoken a lot of words that haven't been from the Lord. When it comes to Scripture, no one on this planet will have a private interpretation of it. No one can say, "Hey, I only have the only revelation." That isn't how the Lord works. In 2 Peter 1, verse 20, it talks about knowing this, that the prophecy came in Scripture. It is of not a private interpretation. It never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I always cringe when somebody says, "I have a revelation no one has," because there is none. We have the Word of God. We can have the same Holy Spirit working in us that's in others, that it agrees. When it comes to Scripture, our minds now need to be set on Him. Because if you listen to this person and this person, it contradicts everything. And you can get very confused and very upset today. But when we listen to the Lord, it's a clear voice. I had to chuckle outside before I spoke this message. The birds are not doing social distancing. They were a whole group of them together. They were all hanging out. In fact, my wife and I were at one of the stores, and the line was in the back all the way to the front, two different lines. And I'm thinking, nobody's social distancing here. The truth is that we're around people everywhere we go. We have to face that. The only way you couldn't do that is if you stayed home, didn't shop, didn't go to grocery shop, didn't buy gas, didn't do anything. But the truth is, we're still around people. So we need God's word to be working in us and through us. I believe that God can bring divine protection. I am 100% for it. I believe that we can speak that word over our families. The blood has not lost its power. It's amazing to me how the enemy will try to get us so much on man's word that we need to speak God's word. In Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure, like silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times." When I look at Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever your word is settled in heaven." I love that. It says, "Forever your word is settled in heaven." In Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." When I look at the eternal value of the word, we need to get that in us. And here's an awesome thing. That at the end of the age, God will judge people according to the word of God. It is written, what they've done, what they've said, and his word will judge that area. It's like there's no escaping it. When you read the word of God, everything that is written will come to pass. Whether people believe it or not, it will come to pass. And more than ever, I really pray that we're starting to look up. I hope this is getting our attention, saying, hey, there's more going on than ever. We need to seek our God. In Psalm 119, verse 160, It says the entirety of your word is truth. I love that. The entirety of the word. When I look at Jesus, I did some reflection the other day. When Jesus was tempted, he was tempted in the wilderness. He answered each temptation of Satan by a direct quote from the Old Testament. Those scriptures are in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 10. Three times he answered with the phrase, "It is written." Each time he was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. I always marvel that it's Christ not only spoke the word, he also used it against the enemy. And Satan had to accept the absolute authority of the book. He didn't use his own words. He said, "It is written." Man, we need to have that flowing out of us. Can you imagine if every born-again, Bible-believing person spoke, "It is written"? I believe it would change the whole culture of the church. We couple that with intimacy and purity. Man, that's unstoppable. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said this, that God's word would be fulfilled, that he didn't come to destroy the laws and the prophets, but to fulfill, that everything will be fulfilled. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus told us to observe all that he's commanded us. That's teaching us all things. That he said, "Lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age." The Lord didn't take a vacation from us during this time. He isn't up in heaven wringing his hands going, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do over this world?" There's peace in heaven. We need to have peace in us. As we start to come back together, we speak that victory. Come into the house of God, say, "No plague will come near my dwelling." Quote Psalm 91. Have that upon your lips and speak it with authority. When you speak with authority, it's always amped up. It's always to the point. It's always like, "This is going to happen, praise the Lord." And God's impossible, it's impossible for God to lie. So when you speak that word, you're speaking what he has spoken over the situation. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, if it's given by inspiration, then the Holy Spirit's able to bring us back to remembrance. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. "Beloved, I write this epistle on you and remind you that that word is there, that we need to keep that word in our forefront." When I look at this today, I want to ask you a few questions. How has the word of God affected your life? Have you found comfort in scriptures? Have you looked at the authority of the word? Can you explain that? And let me ask you this. Do you really hide the word deep in your heart so you don't sin against him? When it comes to believers, we need to speak that out. And it's not that we have to go around quoting scripture to everyone's face. But I do believe that we need to have it in our hearts that the Holy Spirit can bring it back out. I can have real conversations about this or this or this. But the truth is that I can also speak about the word of God. Not that I'm any different than anyone else. But as believers, sometimes we can get so caught up on what somebody else says and take that as gospel and repeat it over and over and over and haven't even looked at what God said about it. Many times when it comes to God, I wonder how many times people have spoken for him and he hasn't even said a thing. We need, when we say we are heard from God, then we speak what God says. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." It's so powerful, it's energetic, it's vibrant, it has energy, it has activity. When you get the word of God working in a situation, I'm telling you, things will change. Now, in my yard, I've planted some grass seed. There was areas that were really just had like old tree stumps. And the area there kind of grounded out. Well, nothing's going to grow on top of that. So got some topsoil and spread that out, made a nice base on that, and then got some grass seed, planted it on there, covered it up, watered it well. Well, it's taken about 2 weeks for that to sprout up. And I'm thinking, man, I hope I didn't get some bum seed. Well, the other day I went out there and I looked, and all of a sudden there's some little shoots starting to come up. Not everywhere, but they're starting to come up. What I planted is starting to grow. And we know that if it gets rain, it takes up the nutrients it needs, it gets sunlight, soon my barren grass will be full. How much more the Word of God when we have seed time and harvest? Many times we want instant response, and I did too. I even told my wife, nothing's growing out there. She said, well, just be patient, it'll grow. Sometimes I want it now, like many of you. And when it comes to now, I can't see you, but how many of you need a haircut? I do. I'm starting to look like a shaggy dog. In John 6, verse 63, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are spirit and life. So the Spirit and the Word agree. And Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. That means there's a power there. I personally want each one that comes to service when we start to meet again to start praying that the Word of God finds good lodging place in hearts. We know it falls on four soils. I want to see the soil that reaps a hundredfold, that reaps every fold in life. That way it's more powerful. It's like we just don't hear the message and leave without change, but we change because of it. When I look in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul thanked the church that upon every reason, every occasion, that they received the word of God. Not as the word of men, but as from God. The word's able to save the soul. And I've seen the word of God work in hearts where, like many of you, when I heard the word, I responded to the word, I had the word's results. Well, that's still going on today. But somebody has prayed. Somebody has prayed that the word finds good lodging place. And let's say this. How can we get saved unless we hear? We need to make sure the message goes forth. When it comes to the Word of God, at times there's certain things that we need to lay aside. And I really believe that whatever time or day you meet in service, that there needs to be a little preparation before the message. I know several of you said that you're having worship with your families before the message comes on. I think that's just flat awesome. Many of you are already prepared with your Bible, maybe a notepad. Those are preparations to receive more in the harvest. Because I know there's times where you're rushing, oh, I got to watch this, or maybe I'll do it later, or let me say this to you. Maybe you have the TV running while the message is going on. It's like you can get easily distracted. Something's cooking in the kitchen. All that may be nice, but it's easy to be distracted when the Word of God is going forth. We need to put away all distractions. If we believe it's the Word of God, then we should pay attention. Like many of you parents want your children to listen to you, how much more we need to listen to Almighty God. When it comes to the Word, it needs to be pure. That means the vessel who delivers it. Now, I haven't arrived, but I strive to walk in this. I strive, Lord, forgive me of all my trespasses, that I can be a fit vessel. That I'm never perfect, but it's His power that changes us. But putting away filthiness, it's like that attitude that closes up our hearts and minds. It's like, Lord, I want to be a willing vessel, a vessel you can flow through. And when that anointing comes together with the Word, because the Word is anointed, when the vessel is anointed too, powerful things happen. We start to listen to instruction, and then we take correction and rebuke as well as being uplifted and praised. I want to be able to take both sides. Say, Lord, you got a word? We should be able to go, Lord, thanks for the conviction. I needed that. Not get upset when it comes. When it comes to Jesus, in Job 40, verse 2, it spoke a word here. No one who contends with the Almighty, shall He not correct them? The Lord rebukes and He will answer. It's like, Lord, who can contend with the Almighty God? There are many times we think we're doing what is right in our own eyes, but man, it's the way of sin. It's the way of evil. It's the Lord who changes that area and shows us. And when we get the big areas down, the Lord starts working on the little areas, the small foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. He starts to purify us in a greater degree. Now, I enjoy cars, I really do. I enjoy old as well as new. And it's amazing when you really start to detail a car, how far you really have to go. Because you get to one place, well, that's clean, and you look here, oh, that could be better. And it's sometimes endless, especially in this state. But the more you clean it, the more you work on it, the more it's presentable. Man, I think that should be Christians. If you're taking notes, in Psalm 25, verse 8 and 9, it says, good and upright is the Lord. He teaches sinners the ways. Our attitude and our conduct reflecting the word of God, I want it to be yes and amen. As the Lord continues to open up and we continue to move through this year, that the word reveals in our character areas that we need to change. And there's no one perfect here, not even the pastor. But when we look at those areas, Lord, I want to be pure. Holy Spirit, reveal by your word in my character where I need to change. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. When I look at that power, it's able to change. Even Jesus said, the word is built by faith. It builds up faith in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Having that rehearsed in our ears, sowing that over and over. I believe you can read the word of God once and receive revelation. I believe you can read it again and receive again and again and again. That God can expound on that and mature in those things. When we were a child, we spoke like a child, but when we became an adult, we spoke and did adult things. More than ever, we need to do adult things. In some ways, I've seen some things that I'm not proud of in stores. People taking things out of people's hands because they feel they need it more than others. It really bothers me at times. But it also shows that how we can be so fragile and frail. It can show that how fear can be so dominant that we can kind of forget who we really are. As we move out of this phase here, I really hope that people are stronger today. That spiritual progress, even as believers, will continue. That we hear God's word. We start to enjoy that area. And that true faith arises. Do you believe that Jesus is able to heal the sick? Honestly. Do you believe he's able to save those who come to him? Do you believe he's able to keep those and keep that which is committed to him? Do you believe that he'll be with you even unto the end of the age? Do you believe that he'll take you from this planet when your time is finished? If it's yes to all of them, then what are we really worried about? Do you believe that by his stripes we are healed? Is any of that really the truth in our hearts? Then if it is, then our kingdom is not of this world. It's like we have a builder and maker who is God. That the more we put those scriptures in, it contradicts everything in the world. When Jesus said, my word is spirit and life, where do you get that from the television? When I look at David, King David in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 23, David exercised the faith that he had. He said, speaking of God's word, it's established forever. All through scripture, each one had that heart, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. They all had that area of faith that operates. We also, and we have the full word of God. We're without excuse. We have every measure to get it in us. Even Mary in Luke verse 1 through 38, like I shared a couple weeks ago, be it according to your word. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. When I look at the word of God, every word we should live by. In Matthew 4 verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, there are a lot of people that could look at the word and say, well, I believe this and I don't believe this. Well, this passed away. Jesus said, none of it has. He validates every bit of it. And since he validates it and it came out of his mouth, then God doesn't waste words. I want to speak the word that he spoke. because if I look at him correctly, he spoke the world into existence. He said, and God said, and it happened. Man, I want those type results. And God said it and happened. That I want to agree with him in my conversation. And if he is backing it, I believe we're walking in so little of all that we could walk in. Let's step that up. When it comes to the Word of God, it also brings growth. I remember when I was a little guy and the first time I ordered off the menu, it's like, well, you get to order off the kids' menu. It's still the kids' menu, but I got the chance to order what I wanted to. Previous, you know, they feed you, you do this, you do this, or here's what they're having. I remember looking at the kids' menu and saying, I want this. It's almost like I was proud for a moment that I got a chance to do this. Well, when I was a kid, there was the big table, the adult table, and then there was the kids' table. And when you're kind of in that middle age where you're able to sit at that table, but you still got to sit at this one, it's like you're the biggest kid at the little table. You want to be where the adults are. You want to be where the grown-ups are. Well, if we want to be grown up, then Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 said this, we need milk of the word and we need to mature in the faith. We need to go from milk to solid food because solid food is of those who are full age. And not to kid ourselves either and say, well, I'm just looking for the meat of the word. You need it all. In scripture, we need every area. And I kind of hope that when you come together in the service that there's some milk for those who need it, there's some meat for those who need it, and maybe a dessert here or there, and you can enjoy the meal. When it comes to the Word of God, I want to ask you this question. Have you dined on the Word of God in your own household, with your friends? Do you truly walk in true biblical faith? When you hear the terms born again, what does that mean to you? When I look at the Bible, listen to me, it's the most precious possession we could ever have, according to Henry H. Haley. He's an author. George Washington said this, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Isaac Newton said this, the more sure marks of authenticity is the Bible in all of history. I look today, we need to start speaking that word and walking in that area. It's like the Word of God starts to work in us and through us. In these next few weeks here, I'm going to have the Word of God. I'm going to go through some scripture. We're going to have a word time that I really feel the Holy Spirit wants us to get that. When we go through these word series, we're going to go through the book of Daniel. We're going to begin to see how he took the word and made it alive, worked the word as it were. We're going to look at Job also, how he had to hold on to the word and work that word. Church, I want us to work that word. Many of us have maybe a little more time than others right now. Take time in the word. Right now I'm going again through the New Testament. It's my second time through in this little short time. Sow that word in. Work it deep within your spirit. And then exercise it to come out of your mouth. Well, it may seem basic, but we need to do it, church. There are so many voices today. The church needs to have the voice of the Holy Spirit working in our midst. That if you have the word and I have the word, there's agreement there because we can agree in the word. Let's do that, church. Let's start to speak that over our families and speak it with authority. Satan knows it's real. How much more should we? Every demon in hell knows it's real. How much more we as believers should walk in that? When we get to heaven, we'll be known as we're known, that we need to sow it in us now. Everything in Scripture was given for our example, for our reproof and correction, that we can grow and learn. And it's kind of neat to know that we have history of individuals that have passed on before us. Can they say that at the end of our age that, hey, my mom, my dad, my cousin, my grandmother, my grandfather, they lived according to the Word of God? Let's do that, church. If you're listening to this message today and you need to get your life right with God, you can. You can be born again by God's Spirit. That means God's Spirit comes in your life and makes your spirit alive. That a simple prayer of faith can get you to that place. Maybe you're a little fearful today. Fear has torment. We can come against those things. Maybe you're confused on all that's going on. Maybe there isn't peace. All these can be remedied by the word of Almighty God, that the Holy Spirit can work deep within us in every situation. I want to pray for those that need to get their life right. Then I'll have a prayer for everyone else that will come against any fear or anything coming against us. But if you need to get your life right with the Lord today, I want you to pray this with me. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, speak this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life and be, Lord Jesus, Lord of my life. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he arose from the dead. So right now, forgive me, save me, and come into my life and change me. Satan, you have no hold on my mind and my emotions. I am free in Jesus' name. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done for me, and I boldly confess you are Lord. Father, now, save me, forgive me, and heal me and change me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, church, I want to pray over you this morning here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against any fear today. We come against any confusion today. We come against any doubt today. Satan, you have no hold nor authority to operate here. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. And Lord, we speak the victory upon that by your stripes we are healed. We speak the victory that no plague will come near our dwelling. In the name of Jesus, we come against anything destructive that's arrayed against. And now we speak the victory upon. We believe your word and we're going to walk in that authority. Father, make us a light to the community. Lord, help us to reach out, Lord God, in these last days. And Lord, most of all, Lord, teach us to sow your word deep within our hearts so we don't sin against you. Lord, your blessing upon your people. Lord, go with them in strength and power today. Meet every need in each home according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, church, for this time together. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.